Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, let's go. I hope you're in the spirit. I hope you're in the spirit. I just want to say this right out of the gate. I know for many of you, maybe you're about to disappear for a couple of weeks. We will be here, a smattering of us in and out
right
over the next couple of weeks. But I get it. Today is kind of the curtain is dropping on life for a couple of weeks for a lot of you. So let's head in to the holiday season with some fun. Even though that Warrior game, for example, last night had no fun at all. And I think for you, Dibs, it sort of crystallized a point that you were already making. Let's talk this out. Tell everybody what you said with regard to what the Warriors need to do to even have a trade, the idea of a trade makes sense.
Well, you would need to show the organization that you're actually a real team and a real threat in the conference. And I said it a couple of weeks ago that they were in, quote, real trouble. I said it on the show, and you and I went back and forth, and you talked about a good start followed by a bad skid, and which team are they, and all the rest of it. And I do think that they are probably somewhere in between, but I look at a game like last night, and I look at a roster that they continue to roll out there, and I don't see them being one big trade away from being anything that can really be talked about in the Western Conference. So last night is, of course, a small sample. The Dennis Schroeder era did not begin very well, and Draymond was terrible. Steph was no better, and everyone was pretty much bad except for Andrew Wiggins and Pods in garbage time. But I look at this team, and I don't see them as one trade away or two big moves away from doing anything. So what are we even talking about here?
We're talking about what is probably, in my opinion and theirs, the only thing that actually makes sense, because even if I accept some of what you're saying, like I want to do that real quick, okay? If you think the Warriors are too old, you're probably right. You're probably right. If you think that this isn't heading anywhere special, you're probably right. If there's no great move, turnkey out there, you might be right. You might be right. But Dibs, like hell, I'm going to try. I'm going to try, because you know what else I think is probably right? You probably don't have anything right now on the roster that's really all that worth your time and freaking out about for 2028 and beyond. You really don't. And I try to say that repeatedly without it sort of like being offensive sounding to the likes of Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody or Brandon Pajemski or Trace Jackson Davis or anybody else. That's my response. If you think there's not enough around Steph, then why are you so worried about giving him up? Because even though you're probably right, Dibs, you might be wrong. You might, because we're reacting to something that doesn't exist yet. We're reacting to a trade or a series of trades that we don't know what they are yet.
We're reacting to what we've seen, though.
No, but we don't know who that person is. What if it is more of a, you know, I know you like Vucevic, don't you?
Sure.
Okay, what if it's more of a middling deal for Vucevic? But you do. You got to give up some assets. No? Like, here...
So you get Vucevic and you get Cam Johnson.
Let's see what happens.
Right.
Like, here's what I would say. You're essentially throwing out there that this Warrior roster needs to earn the right for the team to make a trade.
Right.
And my response to that would be Steph Curry has earned that for the last 10 years. He has already earned that. Even if this is farcical, even if this feels like a Hail Mary, even if it feels stupid, even if it feels like it is something that could bite you a little bit down the road, that's where I stand. They have earned it. Number 30 has earned the right for them to at least try to do something.
To gut the future for a Hail Mary.
What future?
Well, and that's where you and I disagree, because you could talk about the future, and we don't know, just like we don't know what the move would be, we don't know how much better Jonathan Kuminga will be, Pods, TJD, Moody, the picks that you have. We have no idea what those will be. Those players could all get better. They could all ascend and be better players. I hope that they will.
They should.
And those picks can be actually winning picks. They don't all have to be James Wiseman and Justinian Jessup. They could be picks that actually land and are good players.
I'm not even suggesting you got to give all the picks up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, you have to give up some picks.
Something.
And some players.
I don't know. They got Dennis Schroeder for without giving up any picks.
And how's that working for you?
I don't know. Well, it's one
for
game.
One.
Yeah.
Well, 0-1.
Okay.
Can we say 0-1?
Sure.
Without being too critical of Dennis?
No. Last night was literally one of the more embarrassing games of the entire Steph era.
Fourth worst loss in Warrior history.
I mean, well, God, if there's ever... Now, I don't get it either. Off of a layoff, I don't get it either. But if there's ever a night to just flick the bug off your shoulder, that's it. I mean, this
I don't see it that way.
It's only the second time they've been blown out this year. I don't, like, do you suddenly have the thoughts that that's what they're going to look like going forward?
How can you, after a week off, give that effort?
I don't know.
That, to me, is a bigger question.
I don't,
and we can talk about flick it off all we want to. You know, okay, flick it off. It's just one game. And you're right. It's one of 82, which is about 1.4% of the schedule. That's fair. But you're coming off a week break. You have a new player. You had a bunch of practice. And you go into Memphis, and you got absolutely run out of the gym from the opening tip.
Yeah.
You showed no effort.
Very surprised.
You showed no enthusiasm. You showed no offense. Draymond Green had no points, no rebounds, no assists, four fouls, and I can't believe he didn't get a tech.
Stunningly
bad. Which would have paid off my prediction.
Yes, it would.
And I can't believe he didn't get a tech.
I saw the way that game was going. I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah, Dibs
is going to be right.
Yeah, I thought so.
I couldn't believe it, because, by the way, I'll be straight honest with the audience, I turned that stupid thing off. There's an NFL game on. I'm not watching that.
I had two screens going.
The Warriors, you were a waste of time last night. You were a waste of time. So I can go with you on that. I can absolutely play in the sandbox of that was embarrassing. And I don't use that word very often in professional sports because I think it gets overused. It's not embarrassing usually to, like the 49ers this year. I don't find that embarrassing. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
Buffalo was a little embarrassing.
Well, yeah, you know, like you're in a snowstorm, blah, blah, blah. Like weird stuff, whatever. But I don't find it embarrassing when other good teams with millionaire athletes outplay
That's
you.
That's fair, yeah.
But
like
I'm
the Ram
you.
Game was not embarrassing.
No, it was boring.
They beat you. They were just a little bit better than you.
12-6 is a hard score to utter, but I don't usually use the word embarrassing. Last night, that's kind of embarrassing. You lose by 50?
Yeah.
That's hard to do in the NBA.
And you were down by 57.
Right. Like, it's hard
for... the best player in franchise history could not make a basket, and your Hall of Famer had no points, no rebounds, no assists, and four fouls. That's embarrassing.
I'm interested in this concept you're bringing up, and I think we would love to sort of get a finger on the pulse of the audience. 888-957-9570. Do the Warriors need to earn a trade? Do they need to play sort of quote well enough in order to earn a trade? And if they don't, then just stand pat. I will admit, I understand where you're coming from.
Right.
I really do.
And I get what you're saying about Steph and what he is accumulated and what he's earned and everything he's done for this franchise, that matters when it comes to this sort of a conversation. But for me, when you look at heading to the deadline, if you're this team, then for me, you're not going to sacrifice your future just because Steph's been really good.
I mean, look, put it this way. I'll move over to your side of the fence if we see a lot more of that over the next month and a half. I don't think we're going to. I don't think they're going to lose by 50 again. I really don't.
No, but you've lost 9 of 11.
You know, they were 46-win team last year, and I'm remembering a game against the New Orleans Pelicans last year where something like this happened. And I can't remember what the final score was. Let me see if I can find it, actually, because I feel like it was sort of right around the same time of year. And I feel like it was here at Chase.
Yeah, they lost by 36 on January 10th.
There it is. All right, so it was a little later
in the year. To fall to 17-20.
There you go. 17-20 and lost by 36 on your home floor to just kind of a mediocre basketball team.
Yep.
Like an okay team. The Pelicans were okay last year. Another play-in team. That felt like rock bottom. And whether you liked the way it went from there, and obviously they didn't even end up making the playoffs, but from that 17-20 embarrassing moment, they became a 46-36 basketball team that had a shot to work their way into the postseason. This team has a better record than that. We'll see where they are after 37 games. Right now, they haven't played that many. But this team has been better than that team. And maybe this is their rock bottom. Maybe it is. I don't think they're going to lose by 50 again. But I'll move over to your... I'll at least meet you somewhere over in your area code if the Warriors just literally lose almost every game, which is what they're doing right now.
Well,
don't think that's going to continue.
The next six are at Minnesota, Indiana, a team kind of like you, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Suns, and the Cavs. And the Cavs are the best team in basketball.
Really good.
The Suns are also very good. And, you know, you got the Lakers on Christmas. You go to L.A. to take on the Clippers, a team that, you know, is right kind of in the same range as you, fighting for survival. So the next six games, to me, tell you a lot about who you are as a team as Schroeder starts to become more acclimated with the Warriors.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. What if you come out of there 3-3?
Right. Then, well, for me, you're the same team that I said you were.
Okay. And so that's not enough for a trade?
No.
I mean, you're an over 500 team as you move into the new year. We know that the Boston Celtics three seasons ago met you in the finals and almost had your number. And in late January, they were 500 team.
Yeah, different thing, though. Completely different team. That's a team that was younger and trying to find its way.
Yeah.
This is a team where you've got your number one star who's having the worst year he's had in 10 years, and your number two star who is coming off a 0-0 game, and he's already, you know, struggling with his physicality, and you've got a bunch of, like, for me, not nobodies, that's a little bit unfair, but you've got a bunch of, like, bit players behind your best player,
right,
who's no longer an elite player.
Which I continue, every time you say that, my response is then, what are you worried about giving him up for?
Giving who up for?
All these middling players behind Steph. Why
because
are you
these
worried?
Middling players might be better. And
they
the guys
might.
You're trying to give up are they guys who are young players who have more of a future than Steph and Draymond.
That's a, like, I mean, I can fight your might with another might. Because we're assessing a roster that in theory would be different. If you add another one or two significant changes, we would have to reassess. You know, you could sit here and say Steph Curry can't do it at this age, and I think I can respond to that and say that's precisely why they need to go find somebody else who can take the pressure off of him. Like,
well, they just did.
No, not really. And that's one game.
18 a night.
Yeah, for a Brooklyn team. I don't think he's going to score 18 a night here. I get where you're coming from.
I hope
from.
He gets more than 5 a night.
Yeah, me too.
No, we got problems.
For sure we do. Look, if anything looks like last night, they got all kinds of problems. But that's a start. But look, more is needed. The defense is going to continue to throw everything at Steph until there's another option that penalizes them for that. And I'm sorry, Kuminga fans, he's not it. He's not it. And I don't want to sit here, and neither does Steph, by the way, for the rest of his career, wondering what Jonathan might be someday. It's just not worth it to me. I've said this to you a couple of times the last few days. I'm willing to be wrong. If he becomes a wonderful player someday and you regret moving on from him and you did it in an effort to help your generational star, I'm willing to accept that. But let's focus in on that idea of, do the Warriors need to earn a trade? What do you think about that? Yes or no? 888-957-9570. We will take your calls. Monty Poole's going to join us in about 5 minutes. And so we'll get his perspective. But then we're going to get your calls. We'll also let you hear what Draymond said when he was asked if this is rock bottom. We're sponsored by Lucky California. Happy Friday, everyone. It's Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, and he thinks your pick stinks, but he'd never say it.
No, even he wouldn't say it.
You're hot. Like, I'll give it to you. You're hot. I told, like, last night, I went with you now.
You I better told you, have, I went, yeah.
Yep, Chargers minus 2.5. Good pick, Dibs.
Lucas tried to fade me. Grandy, you weren't here. You were under the weather. But Lucas tried to, like, fake fade me.
And I called him out. I'm like, I don't believe you. I don't, but, like, you don't. It was so half-hearted.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about the spreadsheet now, Grandy. Yeah. You won't.
Yeah, he
four
will.
In a row.
Yeah,
I wasn't even above. Here yesterday. Yeah. What do you want from me?
I want you to show up don't ready
come,
to work.
Don't come down Grandy's road.
I will.
The man had a sore throat, and he absolutely will tell you your record is over 500 now.
When I showed up with a sore throat, he couldn't wait to vote me off the island.
You should never show up with a sore throat because you get mad when other people do.
Well, and I'm just going to say
you
this.
You shouldn't. It's a little hypocritical. And, just a little bit.
Well, it's only hypocritical if I show up sick because I have a 2-year-old, and there's a certain strain of virus going around her school. And there's a certain
there
parent,
always is.
parents who send their kids to school sick, shame on you.
Well, sure.
Selfish.
But then again, they just want a few minutes to themselves. I get it. But
shame
not,
on you.
Not us. We want to hang out with our friend Monty Poole, who with NBC Sports Bay Area is joining us right now on the River Islands guest line. Monty, what a perfect day to talk Dubs basketball, huh?
Well, I'm not sure they would agree with that, but yeah, not so bad.
I mean, my gosh. Like, okay, so one night, just brush your shoulder off, forget it, move on, or do we have legitimately some signs of major concern here? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there are some signs of concern because, you know, this is looking at a game that they practically did not show up. You know, there was all this talk about setting an early defensive tone, which they didn't do against Dallas on Sunday. And Steve Kerr was like, yeah, we are a defensive team. That's what we have to hang our hats on. And they had a couple of days of practice. They had one game over a 7-day period. And so they had a little bit of time to sort of pull some things together. And then to see that performance last night, yeah, it has to put you on alert. I'm curious to see how they respond tomorrow in Minnesota. If they lose again, if they lose big again, yeah, then sound the sirens, sound the alarms because you got real problems. If they play well and still and lose, then I think you can ease up a little bit and see where it's going because it's going to take some time for Dennis Schroeder to be able to assimilate himself with his group. You know, he's playing with a totally different team in Brooklyn. Basically, the last 4 or 5 days for him have been a whirlwind. Yeah, he had about maybe 2 hours worth of practice time with these guys, and he was in the starting lineup last night, and he didn't play well, but who did besides Wiggins? So, I think you don't want to overreact, but at the same time, you got to be on alert to see what happens tomorrow night, because if they get blown out again tomorrow night, wow, that's a real problem.
Yeah, and it's been kind of a real skid, and you know, Mark and I have been going back and forth about the idea of, has Steph earned enough over the course of his year to warrant them to make a move ahead of the deadline if the team is not doing much better. I'm more interested, Monty, in about what you're seeing in how teams are defending Steph, because it seems to me more and more that teams are willing to, you know, top lock him and guard him for 94 feet and really take him out of the game. Are the Warriors not adjusting to this new defensive approach on Steph?
Well, yeah, I think that's part of the issue. That's happened before. But what's happening is that the teams are taking the mentality, which I'm not surprised that anybody but Steph, you know, and it's not that they're saying everybody else can score, but they're saying there's one guy on this team we don't want to see get loose. And you're seeing that a lot now. And Steph is, you know, he's one of those guys that we know he's had some knee issues, both knees. And so you've got some issues there that he doesn't really want to get into. Steph is one of those people who just doesn't even acknowledge his injuries. And so I have no doubt that he's playing through something just because of what I'm looking at. The eye test is telling me that this isn't the Steph that is fully healthy. And he's not on the injury report. He wasn't yesterday. He started. Played 24 minutes, I believe, is what it was. So when you're not quite 100% and you're getting 94 feet of pressure, double teams, getting blitzed, it can take something out of you. And so you do need somebody to step up. And so yesterday, I thought Wiggins was the only guy giving them any offense early on. But their problem was that two problems. One, turnovers. You had 8 turnovers in the first quarter. You gave away 12 points to the Grizzlies in the first 12 minutes. And the problem with turnovers, live ball turnovers, is that there's no way to defend it. Your defense doesn't have a chance to set up. Might be able to scramble back and maybe get something, but the Grizzlies shot 9 of 10 on fast break points. Guess what most of those were? Live ball turnovers.
Yep.
And you can't defend them. So if you shoot 90% in any part of your game, you're probably going to win. And so the offensive, the poor play on offense was accentuated by the fact that the offense was committing so many turnovers that led to points the other way. So you're looking at a team yesterday that didn't bring the offense because it was bad, and the defense, you know, again, the defense didn't look good, but it's worse, made worse by the fact that there were so many turnovers that allowed Grizzlies to go the other way and get easy buckets.
Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area, is with us. Monty, when you see the Warriors play like they are now, I wonder what you think the organization thinks. In other words, the worse they play, does that make them think, hey, we have got to make a trade? Or does that make them think, boy, we shouldn't make a trade because it's not worth it to go for something that's not going well?
Well, I think that's the process they're in right now. Make no mistake, though, Joe Lacob, the CEO, is very much, he's as ambitious as they come. You know, he's not a guy who accepts losing unless you tell him, here's why we're losing, because Steph's out, Draymond's out, you know, Wiggins is out. You know, then, okay. But when he looks out there and he sees the only guy on the injury report is Moses Moody, and you're losing like that, yeah, he is not going to be a happy guy. And so Mike Dunleavy has made it clear that, you know, the Schroeder trade was a good trade, a sharp trade, a smart trade. It made sense given that they lost Melton, and he sort of replaces that. But they're not done, you know. And the question is, what can they get and what are they willing to give up? And I've been of the opinion that, you know, it's hard to get a real an impact player, a real difference maker, without giving up Kuminga. And I know that's not something that Joe wants to do, but I do also know that the organization is, you know, there's some people who think JK can be an all-star, and others are skeptical still. And after 4 years, you know, I get that side, because you watch them play, and sometimes he looks good, and sometimes he doesn't. And I think if you're Steve Kerr or Mike Dunleavy, that's what you have to figure out. You know, he had this little audition here for a couple of weeks where he was starting in the lineup. He was in the starting lineup, and let's see what he does for us. And again, it didn't go well because they've been losing more than winning lately. So you go back to Draymond, put JK on the bench yesterday and looking for some defense. And Draymond was not good at all yesterday. He was not good at all. So, but yeah, I think he had 4 fouls in 19 minutes, 4 turnovers. And so he wasn't good. Steph was not good. But I think you can look at the game and see why Steph wasn't good. So yeah, it's a tough skid right now, but I know they're going to be active and talking to other teams, trying to make something happen. But I also know that I don't sense, at least, that Mike or Joe feels like we got to do something right away. I mean, they still have about 5-6 weeks before the trade deadline. And I think that they're thinking, okay, Dennis just got here. Let's see how this looks for a few games. And before we start looking at other options in terms of doing something pretty quickly. But right now, I don't sense that they want to do something tomorrow or the next day or the next day. I think they want to play it out for a few days and see how it goes. Because we all knew that this month was going to be a tough month. We all saw the schedule. You saw who they were playing. And after the cupcakes they had for the most part in the first 3 or 4 weeks, this is like, okay, buddy, gravel road now. What you got? And it's uphill. And you're seeing it. That's your tale is being told by that right now, is that the Warriors are not a great team. They can be good, but right now they're mediocre.
Yeah, and Gravel Road is a great way to put it. And you've got Minnesota still ahead and the Clippers, and you got Cleveland coming up before the start of the year. And I wonder, Monte, just hearing you talk about like the timeline, is there a chance that maybe they don't make any big moves until the offseason? Because you still have, what, 2.5 more years of Steph, and you still have Draymond. And the urgency we all want to feel this year, but is there a chance that they might wait until the offseason where Kuminga gets signed and then they give him the Jordan Poole treatment where you could actually get more back from him from a salary standpoint?
No, I mean, that's on the table too. This next, I'm going to say, 2 to 3 weeks are pretty critical about, you know, how they will pivot and say, you know, early to mid-January, what are you going to do then? Because that's when, if this team doesn't show signs of coming to life, that's when the buzz will start to, you know, the volume on the buzz will start to go up. And whether they make something, make a move in 2 weeks or 4 weeks or just ahead of the deadline or, you know, maybe in the offseason, I do sense that they will definitely try to make a move before the deadline. But I think that more than likely that move is still, you know, not imminent. I'd be surprised if they had something in the next week or so. I think it's going to be a little more time. They want to see how it goes with what they have right now, because they have to know they're not as good as they were when they started, because they played a lot of teams that weren't very good. And they're not as bad as they are right now. They just look bad. And they looked really bad the last couple of nights. So I don't sense that they are pushing the panic button just yet. And I don't see that from Mike. I don't see it from Joe. They're trying to do some problem solving. And the question is, will those problems get, how long will it take to solve those problems if they ever get solved at all?
Monty, how real is the Jimmy Butler talk?
Everything that I've heard, rumors, whispers, and the whole nine, indicates that, yeah, Jimmy Butler is nice in theory. The concept of having Jimmy Butler on your team is good because he's well known as a, you know, one of those players who really gets up for the postseason. But everything that I've heard is that the Warriors are kind of skittish about his availability. You know, this is a team that, you know, last couple of years, you know, when Wiggins was out, they missed him. You know what happens if Steph goes out? And so they want to make sure that they want to feel like he can be there for them. And availability has been the problem with him in Miami. That's why he got on the bad side of Pat Riley. You know, Pat's like, yeah, Jimmy's great, but we don't always see him. And if you're the Warriors, and you just went through this with Melton a little bit, they knew it was a risk because he had a back issue last year. But they thought, no, let's give it a shot, because if he's healthy, he can really help us, which is true. But DeAnthony Melton is a lot different from Jimmy Butler in terms of Jimmy Butler makes 4 times the money, first of all. And he's a different kind of player. Jimmy Butler is an all-star caliber player, but he just seems to be in and out of the lineup. And I don't know if the Warriors want to break up their team for a guy who they can't rely on.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, especially if he decides that he doesn't want to opt in next year, so now it becomes a 3-month rental. The thing that's sticking with me, Monty, is the idea of Steph Curry and whether or not he can still, quote-unquote, do it. Because at times, yes, he can do it. He can still be one of the top 5 players in the association. But do you look at Steph now, coming up on 37, as a guy who can night in and night out carry a team to be a legitimate, deep playoff team?
No. No, he's got to have help. They know that. The Warriors are aware of that. You know, they're looking at Steph and Draymond in the same vein that Greg Popovich looked at Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili toward the end of their careers. Let's bring their minutes down to the high 20s, low 30s, and put some guys around them. The Spurs got lucky in getting Kawhi Leonard, and so he was able to lead them to one more championship with that group. And Kawhi was huge for that team. If they didn't have him, that championship was not going to happen. But if you're the Warriors, you understand what Steph and Draymond have done for you. You're not going to short shrift them now. You understand how important they are. So you want to keep them, you want to preserve them every chance you get. But at the same time, you're not going to give up on them. I mean, I heard somebody yesterday saying, oh, maybe it's time to trade, you know, make a big trade. There are some guys in the NBA you just don't trade. And number 30 is one of those guys. You know, you just don't. I mean, the Lakers, remember the talk back in the day about the Lakers maybe trading Kobe? Kobe wanted out. Kobe wanted out. Can you think of how silly that would have been? And that was never going to happen. It was never going to happen. And to me, Steph is much the same in the same same status. A guy that you don't trade because of what he's meant to this franchise. The Warriors are the number one, the most valued franchise in the NBA, and second in all of American sports. How much of that happens without number 30?
Yeah, none of it. None of it.
They understand that part of it, too. He is his own economy. As long as they have him on their team, which I believe will be as long as he's playing in the NBA, he's going to be there. He's not going anywhere. And Draymond, you know, to a lesser degree, yeah, maybe Draymond at some point. But the question with Draymond has always been, what's his value to other teams? We know what he means to the Warriors. But what do you mean as much to another team? I think that's a fair question to ask.
Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Monty, this might be a rabbit hole, but I hear people talking about it, so I'd love to get your insight. Can we go back to the offseason? Based on your knowledge, the chasing of Lauri Markkanen, how real was it? And if it broke down, did it break down because Danny wanted too many draft picks, or was Brandon Pajemski actually the linchpin that he was rumored to be?
It broke down because Danny wanted too much. And I think the Warriors knew that. Anybody who's dealt with Danny before knows he's going to try and fleece you. And the Warriors looking at Lauri Markkanen and saying he's a nice number two or number three guy. He's long. We could use his length. But we don't want to break up our future nucleus for that. And now I don't know how good Pajemski is going to be in 3 years, you know, but they think highly of him. You know, I need to see more. And so you're looking at Pajemski and Kuminga. Those are two guys that the Warriors look at and say, these guys can be with us for the long term. And I think when Brandon's really good, when he's at his best, yeah, I love him. You know, I mean, when he's at his best, he reminds me a little bit of Ginobili when he was playing for the Spurs. You know, a guy who's not super big, but always gets in the way, makes good things happen. But Kuminga is different. I mean, Kuminga's a different athlete, and wondering what to do with him is sort of where they are right now. And but the trade, the Markkanen trade was discussed, and the Warriors were very interested. But when you deal with Danny Ainge, you got to know that what he wants, and he's probably going to want too much. And sometimes it's better to walk away when you talk to that guy.
Is there a certain reluctance around the league accordingly to maybe give the Warriors, not a sweetheart deal, but to just deal with the Warriors in general because of all this, the success that they've had?
I sense that, yes. You know, and not that they won't deal with them at all, but yeah, they don't want to do the Warriors any quote-unquote favors. It has to be a tit for tat, you know, okay? If you want our guy, give us your guy, you know, and that's the issue. And, you know, part of that's because, yeah, the success they've had and where this franchise has gone, you know, if you've been around the Bay Area long enough, you know, there was a time when the Warriors were a backwater in the NBA. They were like, nobody wanted to come here, and they were always losing. Ownership was bad, and they couldn't retain stars. Gilbert Arenas got going here, and he said, I'm out of here. Chris Cohan wouldn't even shake my hand, you know. So you know where they've come to. You know where they are now. And you say to yourself, well, yeah, you give them a chance. This franchise has really blossomed from the bottom five of the league to the top two in the league. And so I just think that they got to have one eye on the future because Steph is not going to play forever. And, you know, they're on Christmas Day again this year, 12th in a row. And ask yourself, will this Christmas Day game streak continue if number 30 is not there? I got to say no. And if you're looking at that, that means that they're not in the championship picture. They're not right now, and they won't be unless they make another big move.
Monty, it's wonderful to have you at a time where, you know, the frustrations and the questions and everything are at a real high after last night. So thanks for doing it, man.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, too. Monty.
Yep. Happy holidays. Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area.
Yeah. Well, and I did want to ask him about, like, trade timelines because a lot of us are so hell-bent on this deadline, this urgency, and all the rest of it. It's okay for them to go through this whole year and not make a deal, but then make a deal in the offseason that does exactly what people want them to do now. Because I do think that, and I'm thinking about Jordan Poole and what they did not to Jordan Poole, but with Jordan Poole. They paid him. They traded him. And as we talk about Jonathan Kuminga, for me, there is value in doing that with Kuminga. If you don't like absolutely love him for the future, why not wait till the offseason, pay him $27.5 million a year, and then you can trade him for a player who's making $27.5 million?
Yeah, because it's all about, A, who's available coming back, and B, it's easy for you to say it's okay to wait. I don't think Steph agrees with you. You know what I mean?
Fair, but he's got 2.5 more years, so.
Yeah, but my God, that's not a lot. I mean, you're not going to put it this way. I agree with you, provided that they're not passing on a deal that comes earlier that they actually think can help. And listen, we've talked to every opinion is completely valid here. I can easily see both sides. I can see that you might feel like you're chasing ghosts if you make a trade. I can also see that the idea of not making a trade is absurd because you're waiting for Marco Luciano to be amazing. And he may just probably never be amazing. I'm sorry. That's just an example of what we do in sports when we keep telling you that the next big thing is going to be the next big thing. It's usually not. So grasping on to that player because he might be good someday is usually a losing proposition. I can easily see both sides, but I don't think they can. So the only way, this is the way I see it and what I listen to, the only way they're not making a deal is if nothing resembling a good deal presents itself. But if it does, they're making it. They're doing it.
Well, and I wonder what a good deal actually means.
Something
and
they think can help.
And
now,
Monty with a great point about, you know, Jimmy Butler, for example, a guy whose availability has been in some question, and he's got an opt-in next year. I don't know if that's the player or if that is the, quote, right deal. The more I think about where the Warriors are, the more I think about smaller deals, incremental deals that don't involve Kuminga and maybe don't even involve Wiggins, and they don't involve first-round picks. They're Schroeder-esque kind of moves that maybe make you a little bit better. I don't think that where they are now, the way they're playing, the way their roster is, I don't think that they're one big fish away from being a thing. So for me, it makes more sense to go incremental and not totally gut your future, whether or not you think there is one or not, in order to try to bring in a 3-month Jimmy Butler rental.
Yeah, I mean, those of you who are worried about Butler, I would think that you would take what Monty said and feel good. It sounds like the Warriors have some concerns there. But
yeah.
I'd also say, man, there's a lot of basketball games to be played before they have to do something.
Yeah.
Not imminent, not in a rush. And I think that's at least the right thing. I don't think you need to blink and do something early, but boy, if something presents itself, I'd sure do it. But that's what we're talking about right now, and we'd love to enter you into the conversation. Do you feel like the Warriors need to earn a trade? Dibs has basically said they got to play well for it to even make sense. My response is kind of like, to a degree, it's the opposite. The worse you play, you got to make a deal. Because I don't know what this future is that everybody's really grasping onto. 888-957-9570. Skills, you'll be first up. Stay right there. We'll take your calls next on that. Do they need to earn a trade? We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957thegame, youtube.com/957thegame. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And also, Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com. It's Willard and Dibs.